بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We come to the end of this section of the kitab which concerns beliefs, our aqaid, and Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Mu'adh Thanvi rahmatullah alayh mentions that that after mentioning all the beliefs, we have also included two topics right at the end, which we are going to do one of them today, and that are the worldly harms and then also the worldly benefits of obedience. Because many a time people, they look at what is the benefits of obedience and what are the harms, and through that they get encouraged to do acts of obedience, and then understand the harms of sin, and that is why they stay away from sin. So today we are going to do some worldly harms of sin. Number one, deprivation of knowledge. Number two, decrease in sustenance, in rozi. Continuing aloofness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and uneasiness in the presence of pious people. This is also one of the harms of sin. A person becomes aloof from Allah ta'ala and uneasy in the company of the pious. Difficulty in most works. Person, he finds difficulty in all his, on most of his work which he does. Feeling of darkness in the heart. Weakness in the heart and at times in the body. Deprivation of good actions. Decrease in life. A person's life, there is decrease in life. Allah Ta'ala puts no barakat in a person's life. Continuation of sin. One sin leads to another sin, and a person then remains in the condition of sin. Weakness in the resolve to repent. A person doesn't get the tawfiq to then repent for his for the sins he has committed. Evil of the sin emerging from the heart after some time. Being an inheritor of Allah's enemies in evil actions. Becoming despicable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Harms of the sin reaches other creation who then curse the sinner. A person when he sins, the effects fall on the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who then curse the sinner. Weakness in the intellect. Receiving curses from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Deprivation of the angels' du'as. Decrease in crops, etc. Loss of shame and respect. Emerging of the grandeur of Allah Ta'ala from the heart, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala then leaves the person's heart. Deprivation of Allah's bounties. Abundance of problems. Loss of titles of respect and praise, and being addressed with titles of disrespect and contempt. Being overcome by shaitan. Heart remains restless. Kalima not emerging from the tongue at the time of death, and losing hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, and therefore dying without repentance. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 29th para was recited. The 29th para comprises of 11 surahs, and all of the surahs except one are all Makki surahs. In other words, those they were revealed before the hijrah took place, while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in Makkatul Mukarramah, and as explained over and over again, that those surahs, which are the Makki surahs, generally the fundamentals of deen are expounded and explained, that is the aqeedah of tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the aqeedah of the year after. One surah which is the exception to this in this para is the surah Ad-Dahr, which is a Madani surah. But despite it being a Madani surah, the subject matter and content matter in that surah is characteristic of all the Makki surahs. There also no injunctions have really been and laws of Shariat haven't been discussed. It is more concerning the fundamentals of deen. So this is in contrast to the 28th para which we discussed yesterday, where all the surahs were Madani surahs, where generally the laws of Shariat were expounded. The first surah here is Suratul Mulk. Concerning Suratul Mulk, many virtues have been mentioned concerning the surah in the ahadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith mentions that it is my heart's desire that the surah must be in the heart of every believer. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the surah is al-mani'a and al-munji'a. It is a surah which stops and which protects the reciter from the punishment of the grave. And another hadith mentions that there is a surah comprising of 30 verses. That's a reference to Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Tabarak Al-Ladhi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that this surah will intercede for its reciter on the day of Qiyamah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try and learn the surah of and make it a practice. It has been a practice of all our Salaf Salihin, pious predecessors, that towards the evening they used to read Surah Al-Mulk. But before retiring to bed, after Maghrib or after Isha, we should make it amongst our ma'amun that we recite Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi every night. And the great benefit we just heard, it will intercede also for us on the day of Qiyamah, and it will be a protection from the punishments of the grave. In this surah, the main subject matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through mentioning all His various creations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes and reinforces this point that by pondering over these great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one can understand and the existence, the oneness, the grandeur, the great power, qudrat and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala commences the surah, Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. That exalted is that Allah in whose control is all sovereignty. Every type of kingship and sovereignty only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala then mentions that Allah ta'ala has created life and death. So, creation of life and death is not a futile exercise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that life and death, and the purpose of it, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test you, then from amongst you, who does the best of actions. So, thus, life and the cycle of life and death is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see who does the best of actions. This point has come over and over again previously, that Allah ta'ala didn't mention that Allah ta'ala wants to see who does the most of actions. Allah ta'ala says who does the best of actions, which means the emphasis is on the quality, not on the quantity. The more better the quality of the action is, the more weightier it will be on the scales when our deeds will be weighed in that on the day of Qiyamah. Two rakats of salat performed with the proper etiquettes and observance of all the rules is much more weightier on the scales than many rakats performed in a heedless condition. So the emphasis is more on the quality, and we should make sure that we improve the quality of all our ibadat rather than only trying to now finish numbers and trying to do more actions. Rather concentrate on when it comes to nafal. First, there's no compromise. We have to do what is required. Another point to understand here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reflect that we have to contemplate and prepare for death. The ulama explain it is a great and very effective method in islahi nafs and rectification and perfection of a'mal. When a person knows he will be accountable after dying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be brought back to life and he will be accountable for his actions. So it goes a long way in improving the quality of our ibadat. It is for this reason that the mashayikh, here also, we read the kitabs where we are encouraged to prepare and think of death so that islahi nafs and perfection of a'mal can occur. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of His great creations. Allah ta'ala speaks of the skies. Allah ta'ala has created it in layers. Allah ta'ala tells man that look over and over how we have created the sky. Your eyes will return exhausted and without finding any fault and any crack in the canopy of the sky which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created over us. Allah ta'ala then mentions concerning the plight of the kuffar, that these kuffar, when they will be flung into Jahannam, what will be the condition? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that. Further on, many other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I explained concerning, for example, the earth. Allah ta'ala has made it such that we can walk on its surface. Allah ta'ala has made it that and we eat from the crops and the sustenance which Allah ta'ala causes to grow from the earth. Allah ta'ala invites us to look at the birds, how they are flying in the air. What keeps them suspended in the air? It is only the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then mentions also that have you become fearless from the fact that Allah Ta'ala can cause at any time the earth to swallow you up? And in other words, if you remain on your disobedience and sin, and Allah, have you become fearless that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send a windstorm from the skies to destroy you? Don't become fearless. Allah Ta'ala at any time can send these forms of punishment. And Allah Ta'ala then in an interrogative way also puts forward these questions, that who is there to help you besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who is there to, if Allah Ta'ala stops His sustenance from coming to you, who is there to provide you with sustenance? Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next surah, Suratul Qalam, is also a Makki surah. Here Allah Ta'ala takes the qasam of the pen first. Shows the importance and the great benefit of the pen. It is this very pen through which the knowledge of our knowledge from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time has come to us, and it is that means through which the knowledge can be disseminated to all others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the qasam of the pen when in that time the environment was not to write and use the pen. People were generally unlettered in those times. But the Quran is to remain till the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Allah ta'ala knows that the time will come which will be the time of knowledge, of research, of information, and to impress the importance that the pen plays in that role, Allah ta'ala takes the qasam of the pen. Allah ta'ala then says, after taking the qasam of the pen, that those allegations which this kuffar had upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are completely unfounded. Allah ta'ala says, through the grace of your Rabb, you are not insane. These people, when they had nothing else to say concerning Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they branded him as majnoon, as insane, whereas they knew well down in their hearts that how can an insane person mention all those things and what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has propagated. Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that for your efforts of propagating the message of Haqq, you will be rewarded greatly, such a reward which will never terminate. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerning Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ta'ala says, innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. The high rank and the great honor of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, that you are on an exalted position of akhlaq. In other words, your character and your akhlaq is of a very high and exalted level. Concerning akhlaq, we know that our deen not only tells us to perform acts of worship, but we are also now, the emphasis is also on that our akhlaq must be correct. Many ahadith to this effect, we read in the books of ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the person with complete and perfect iman will be that person whose akhlaq is also complete and perfect. We are also reminded that there is nothing more weighty on the scale of this, on the scale of deeds, than husni akhlaq. So this is something, another hadith mentions that level a person cannot, which he reaches with husni akhlaq, will be more than even those who engaged in the fasting of the day and in the worship of the night. So the importance of husni akhlaq we understand from the hadith. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an epitome of husni akhlaq. Aisha radiallahu anha describing when asked concerning Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Quran." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq was a practical demonstration of the teachings of the Quran and Majid. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself mentions, "Inna ma bu'ithu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq," that I have been sent to perfect good character. Further on, in contrast to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the enemies of Islam, particularly one staunch enemy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam, Walid ibn Mughira. What was his condition? Completely in contrast to husni akhlaq, good character. Allah ta'ala says, he was despicable and disgraced. He was one who used to look for the faults of others. He was the one who used to carry tales. He was the one who used to stop a lot from all types of goodness. He was the one who transgressed the limits of everything. A thief, he was completely full, immersed in sin. He was harsh, and besides all that, his parentage also was uncertain. In other words, he was an illegitimate person. All this, أَنْكَانَ ذَا مَالِي وَبَنِينَ. All this, why? Because he had become arrogant and boastful and proud, because Allah had blessed him with wealth and a lot of children. For that, he, despite realizing the haqq and the truth, he branded off whatever the Qur'an Majeed was as asatirul awwaleen, that it is the stories of the people of before. It is just fables of the time, the people of before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning this person, what type of evil character he had, and he wants to challenge the Qur'an Majeed and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Allah ta'ala makes mention of a parable which was very famous amongst the Arabs, the people of the orchards. This was an instance which then became an exemplary example, a parable amongst the Arabs. That was the person who had an orchard. He used to reside in Yemen, and he was of such good character that whatever grew from his orchard, he always allocated a share, and was very generous, and he used to give to the poor. But after he passed away and his children inherited that orchard, then they were stingy by nature, and they made a lot of excuses that no, the expenditure now has and overheads have increased so much, therefore there isn't anything left to give to the poor. And when it was time to harvest the crop, Allah Ta'ala mentions these details, that they secretly conspired that we will go in the early hours of the morning and we will cut the crop and harvest the crop before the poor people of the area can come around and realize that we are harvesting our crop. The norm at that time was that when a person used to harvest his crop, then the poor people used to come there in anticipation that they will get something. And these people did not want to give anything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that when they had made this intention, Allah ta'ala caused some devastation to come to that crop. And these people didn't know. And secretly they were going in the early hours of the morning. And when they reached their orchard, they seen it was completely bare and devastated. Initially they thought that perhaps we have lost our road, that this is not our actual orchard. But after seeing closely, they realized that it is our orchard. And then they realized, بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ, that we have been deprived because the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come because of our ill intentions. The intelligent among those brothers even told the others that, didn't I tell you that glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't do this what we are doing? And each one then started pointing the blame onto others. But eventually they realized, inna kunna tawheen, that we were the transgressors. So from this there are great lessons, that because of a person's miserliness and he wants to keep everything for himself, Allah ta'ala completely destroys and sometimes causes barakah to completely go away from whatever a person possesses. Further on, the condition of the muttaqeen are mentioned, and then condition of the day of Qiyamah is also mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although this ayat is a mutashabihat, yawma yukshafu an saq, which literally translates as when the shin, that is the portion of the foot, of the leg, which is between the knee and the ankle, when it will be exposed. The ulama says the exact meaning we don't understand. Perhaps it refers to the great difficult conditions of the day of Qiyamah. And then people will be then called towards prostrating in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those that didn't prostrate and be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, لا يستطيعون, they will be unable to do so. Their backs will be made solid. They will not be able to bend their backs and go into sajda. And this will be a sign of their kufr and their disobedience which they had done in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, that be patient with whatever these people are doing. Don't be in a hurry, like the one who was the one on one of the fish. In other words, Yunus alayhi salam, when he had told his nation that if you are not going to obey and become obedient, Allah Ta'ala's punishment is going to come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't be like that. Be patient and tell whatever the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is will come. The next surah is Suratul Haqqah. One of the names of Qiyamah is Al-Haqqah. Al-Haqqa means that event which is imminent and which is inevitable, which will definitely occur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning this word, Al-Haqqa, Allah ta'ala says, Al-Haqqa, the imminent, the inevitable, do you know what's that? Allah ta'ala asks over and over, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَالْحَاقَ. What do you know? What is this Al-Haqqa? And then Allah ta'ala mentions some incidents of the nations of the past when they remained rebellious and refusing to accept the message of Haqq, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed them. And then the scenes of Qiyamah are then explained, that when the trumpet will be blown one time, and then everything, the earth and the mountains will be raised, and they will be smashed in one smashing. In other words, everything will turn to bits and pieces. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions further conditions of the day of Qiyamah, when the book of records will be given to people, those who are successful in their right hand, and they will be happy and calling others also to read that they read and see how they had fared and were successful, and those that will be given in the left hand, how what will be their condition. This is also explained. Towards the end of that surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the Quran and Majeed that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Jibreel alayhi salam, and it is not a collection of poetry, nor is it the words of any fortune teller. It is tanzeelun min rabbil alameen. It has been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Suratul Ma'arij. This is also a Makki surah, as explained. Further conditions and descriptions of the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala explains. The word Ma'arij actually means a staircase. And the sky has been called a staircase because it is from there that the angels descend, and the people whose ruh and souls are extracted, they raise from the doors of the heavens to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says that He is Dil Ma'arij. He is the one of the owner of the heavens, of the skies, which is called Ma'arijiyah. That's why the surah has been also called Ma'arij. So the description of the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala mentions that on that day even friends will become enemies. A friend will not ask his friend also. And a person will be prepared to ransom even his close and dear ones to escape the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even his sons, his wives, his brother, his family members, everything, just to save himself. But Allah Ta'ala says, Kalla, never. There's no question of ransoming yourself from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala once you become eligible. And then Allah Ta'ala describes the condition of Jahannam, how the punishment of Jahannam will afflict them. Then the general weakness of man, Allah Ta'ala also describes, Inna al-insana khuliqa halua. Insan has been made impatient. He wants results and he wants to see things. He's anxious and always impatient. When affliction gets to him, then he becomes restless and he becomes jazoo, he becomes anxious. And when good comes to him, he becomes miserly, manu'a. He doesn't want to now spend from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him. And then Allah ta'ala says, exception to this are those who are the true believers. Who are they? The musalleen, those who are punctual with their salat. And then the other qualities of the mu'mineen are mentioned. They spend from their wealth on those who are the less fortunate, and they have full yaqeen on the day of retribution, on the day of Qiyamah, and they are fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They protect their private parts, and they discharge the trust which Allah ta'ala has placed upon them faithfully and truthfully. And they, whenever they have to give testimony, they give correct testimony. And they are very, very particular about their salat. They protect their salat, performing it in the right times and in the right way. Allah Ta'ala says, these are the people of Jannat who will be greatly honored. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in the next surah, Suratul Nuh, as the name suggests, the incident of Nuh alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him a very long life, and he tirelessly he conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his nation, generation after generation. Only very few people accepted. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that now no more persons are going to now accept your message of Haqq, that is the time he made bad dua, and he made dua to Allah ta'ala that destroy this nation now, since I have been informed that now nobody else is going to accept Islam. And with the result, the floods destroyed them. The next surah is Suratul Jinn. In the first ruku, but of it was mentioned in Suratul Ahqaf already, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted Nabuwat, then access to the skies for the jinnat was restricted and barred. And this administration, change in the administration of the skies, it surprised these jinnat. What phenomena and what has happened that all this, so they sent out jamaats and to see on the earth what is happening. One group of the jinnat, they happened to pass by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was in the place called Nakhla with a few of his companions. Fajr namaz was taking place and the qiraat was being recited, and these jinnat, they realized that this is not no ordinary words. These are the words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They accept iman. They are taken aback by these words, and they realize it is from Allah ta'ala. They accept iman and they return to their nation, to their people, as warners. So all that has been mentioned here. And in the second ruku, concerning the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam propagated the message of haq, with which words, this has been mentioned. The next surah is Surah Al-Muzzammil, and the surah after that is Surah Al-Muddathir. These two surahs were revealed in the very, very early stages of Nabuwat. After the initial wahi of Iqra, the first few verses of Surah Iqra, then wahi was stopped, did not come down for the next 6 months or so. And after that, the first revelations which came down were Surah Al-Muzzammil and Surah Al-Muddathir. At that time, as yet, the five times daily salat hadn't been prescribed as yet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in an affectionate way, tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had just been granted Nabuwat few months before, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in a condition of anxiety and worry and perplexed, that what work Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take from me. And Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, O one who is wrapped in his sheet, one who is wrapped in his blanket, in an affectionate way, come, stand up, come in lay at night, and devote yourself in the worship of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Since the five salat hadn't been made compulsory as yet, Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for half the night, or a bit more, a bit less, but about half the night, stand in devotion and prayer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend long, long hours in making ibadat of Allah ta'ala, till even his feet used to swell up. The sahaba radiallahu anhum also. And after 1 year about, the second ruku of this Surah Al-Muzzammil, the verse was revealed in which Allah Ta'ala mentions that now only read that which is now easy for you from the Quran Majeed. You don't have to send for so long. And the obligation of tahajjud was then abrogated for the ummah, whether for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not. This is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. So Allah Ta'ala says that stand in prayer during the night and read the Quran steadily. Rattil al-Quran tartila. Read it steadily, slowly. And the reason for this is because the ibadat of the night, it goes a long way in spiritual nourishment and spiritual getting the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spiritual light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to now send revelation in a continuous form. Allah Ta'ala says, we are preparing you for what? Inna sanuqi alayka qawlan thaqila. That we are going to now reveal and send down upon you a mighty discourse in the form of the Quran Majeed. And to be the recipient of the Quran Majeed, to be able to bear the great words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to come to a certain level of spirituality, and we are preparing you for that. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that stand up in the night and devote yourself in worship. Allah Ta'ala then mentions also that the standing up in prayer at night, to get up at night, is not an easy thing. Hiya ashaddu wat'a. It is something which is very, very difficult on the nafs. But this is the only way a person then can subdue his nafs and come to that level of spirituality. But Allah Ta'ala also says, وَأَقْوَى مُقِيلًا, that the words which come out at that time are such words which are much more straight and much more correct than at other times when a person is now involved in the activities of the dunya during the day. Compared to that, when everything is cool and calm and everybody is now resting, then to get up, those words come out from the heart and they are completely straight. Allah Ta'ala says, during the day, we know you have a lot of work to do, but remember the name of your Rabb. We have been reminded over and over that one is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. All forms of ibadat is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the specific order is here, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Take the name of your Rabb and remember him. Which means that to recite, read the words La ilaha illallah and Allah, Allah itself, Allah ta'ala has commanded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do, and the ummah also to do. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, isbir ala ma yaqulun. Here again, that be exercise perseverance on what these people tell you. These things, they might be insulting you, mocking at you. And wahjurhum hajran jamila. Don't debate and dispute with them. Just leave them now. They will, if Allah wills, understand later on. But you just exercise perseverance. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in the next surah, Surah Al-Muddathir, also tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal Muddathir. Very similar translation of Muzammil, one who is wrapped in a sheet. Come, stand and do your work now. What is your work? Andir, warn the people. Propagate the message of Haqq to them. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do as your responsibilities of Nabuwat, now execute it and do all those duties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also here mentions concerning the same Walid ibn Mughira, who was the staunch enemy of Islam. This, how he was one of the leaders of the Quraysh also. But when he was asked concerning the Qur'an Majid, he knew the reality of the Qur'an Majid. But because of his haughtiness and pride, he made it such that as if he is contemplating, like a big person, he asks about something, he first thinks and contemplates and ponders. And then Allah Ta'ala describes his condition. ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرَ. He frowned and he scowled. In other words, through his facial expressions, he tried to impress upon these people that, know what you are asking me about the Quran? No, it's no reality, he said. Then he says with pride, ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرُ يُؤْثَرَ. It is just magic which has been now, which has been narrated and which has come along through the people of before. And he is just now continuing with that same chain of black magic. It is just words of a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that sa'uslihi saqar. Saqar is one of the names of Jahannam. We will enter him into saqar, into Jahannam, and the description of Jahannam has then been given. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next surah, Surah Al-Qiyamah, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam of nafsul lawwama. Nafs, there are three types. One is nafs-e ammara, which was mentioned in the beginning of the 13th para, which is normally the nafs of a person which incites a person towards evil. If a person doesn't keep check of this nafs, it will definitely take him and make him fall into disobedience and evil. But if a person controls it, subdues it through spiritual exercises and not following the whims and fancies of one's nafs, it becomes nafs-e lawwama. And nafs-e lawwama is that nafs which rebukes a person. When a person then wants to do evil, this nafs will tell him, "Hey, what's wrong with you? You are a mu'min. You are on iman, and you doing this." So this is a desired condition which we all must try to reach, that our nafs becomes from ammara to lawwama. And the highest stage of the nafs is nafsul mutmainna, mentioned in the last para in Surah Al-Fajr, ya ayyuha nafsul mutmainna. And that is that nafs where its nature becomes only to do virtue and good. Allah Ta'ala grant us those levels, but at least we should try to come to the level of nafsul lawwama. In this, Allah, after taking the qasam of that, Allah Ta'ala says and reminds man that do you think that we cannot gather your bones after you die and bring you back to life? Array, what are you talking? We can even bring back to perfection your fingertips. The fingertips and even the, what you call it, fingerprints on the fingertips, which we know is a means and one of the best means of identification nowadays also, and the people admit. Allah Ta'ala says we can even bring that and recreate that. What you talking? In other words, that definitely we can recreate you and bring you back to life. The scenes of the day of Qiyamah are also explained here, and in between Allah Ta'ala makes mention to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that when the revelation comes, don't worry that you will forget what we had revealed to you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, out of fear that he will forget that revelation, when Jibreel Alayhi Salaam used to bring that revelation with Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, he used to recite. And through that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to undergo great difficulty. Allah Ta'ala says, you listen carefully, don't move your tongue because you fear that you will forget. Because it is our responsibility to keep that Qur'an Majid intact and gathered in your heart and make you recite it. And after you recite it, then it is our responsibility that you make bayan of this Qur'an Majid and explain this Qur'an Majid. What is the actual meaning of it to the people? It is our responsibility. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the scenes at the time of death. How helpless that person is at the time of death. People try to now do different types of remedies and give him medication, but it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person then passes away. Next surah is Surah Al-Dahr. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the creation of man and the distribution of man into two types, that those the good and the bad, and those that are grateful and those that are ungrateful, and what is the result of each one is being mentioned here. Allah ta'ala also mentions that the Quran Majeed, we have revealed it steadily, in other words, bit by bit. Therefore, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you continue persevering on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and take the name here. Again Allah mentions morning and evening and at night, remember the name of and make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last surah, Surah Al-Mursalat, here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the description at the time of the first blowing of the trumpet, what will happen, how the stars will lose their illumination, the sky will split asunder, and the mountains will be completely moved from their places, and they will be smashed into pieces. All this has been described here, and at different intervals Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيْلُ يَوْمَ إِذِلِّ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe and misery and destruction be the lot of those who are the deniers. Those who deny that there is life after death and resurrection. Woe and destruction be unto them. Allah ta'ala then mentions the plight of the disbelievers and the bliss which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the muttaqeen and the believers. All those bounties which Allah ta'ala will bless them with. Allah ta'ala then mentions that at the end of the surah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قال الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, repeat the name of your Lord and turn to Him with complete devotion. Lord of the East and West, there is no deity but Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, repeat the name of your Lord and turn to Him with complete devotion. Lord of the East and West, there is no deity but Him. Qazi Sanaullah Panipati Rahmatullah Ali writes regarding the above verse in his Tafsir al-Mazhari, the phrase Wadhkur Isma Rabbika indicates that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be constantly repeated. In the verse Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi la ilaha illahu, there is an indication of what the ulama refer to as Nafi and Isbat, that is negating every being besides Allah ta'ala and confirming the oneness of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a deity. By mentioning وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ, mention the name of your Rabb, instead of وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ, there is an indication that just as how Allah ta'ala should be constantly remembered, in a similar manner, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be constantly repeated.
دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ لا محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم الہی عطا ہو ذرہ درد دل کہ مرتا ہے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو مطلوب میں ہوں طلبگار تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم ہے کیا لا No. محمد رسول الله صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں. وہ ہو جائے میرا, میں ہو جاؤں اس کا, یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں. عطا کر دے وہ مجھ کو اپنی محبت, میں اس کے سوا کچھ نہیں مانگتا ہوں. اے ناراضگی جس کی دوزخ سے بڑھ کر, اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگتا ہوں. اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں, میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں. لا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. الہی دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے, سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے. تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو, الہی رہوں ایک خبردار تیرا. محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. تیرے سوا معبود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے, کوئی نہیں. تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے, کوئی نہیں. تیرے سوا مشہود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے, کوئی نہیں. تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے, کوئی نہیں. اب تو رہے بس داد میں آخر درد زباں ہے میرے الہ. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. نعرہ مستانہ خوش می آیدم, تا ابد جانا چنی می بایدم. اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ. جز آسمان ہم دم نہ بود, راز را غیر خدا محرم نہ بود. اللہ 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 اللہ. کیسا پیارا نام ہے, عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے. غالبی بر جا زبائے مشتری شاید اگر ماندگارا واخری. اللہ 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 اللہ. مٹا دے اپنی ہستی کو چھوڑ دے ساری مستی کو اور بستی مستی کہتا جا. اللہ 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 اللہ. الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك واتم علينا بنعمتك واصبح علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.